On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Like one third more sports than a normal can.
Welcome to Tall Can Sports, episode 2. As always, I'm Matt, and Rob's here today. What's going on?
Not much. What about you?
Same old. Some big news we're going to get into today. This will probably take the entire show because it does come from the center of the hockey universe. Just wanted to get into a little of the Mike Babcock to Toronto talk.
I'm giddy with anticipation.
I'm sure you are. Allegiance is on the table. I'm obviously a Leaf fan, and Rob is obviously not.
Big-time Senators fan.
Right. So, what was your... I assume you weren't surprised, necessarily, that this is where he's ended up.
I was totally surprised that this is where he's ended up.
Okay.
You know what? Right up until, you know, you started hearing the leaks, the tweets from the Draggers and the McKenzies and whatever else. There was no way to me that he wasn't going to re-sign in Detroit, right? That this was a ploy to sort of bump up the salary, see what he could get. You're comfortable. You're there. You have all the your legacy that's already there. And honestly, I thought if he was going to go somewhere else, Buffalo would have been the choice. To me, Toronto was a distant dark horse. So yeah, I was surprised.
And I guess maybe that's asked incorrectly or because, as you said, right up until it happened, even the night before, all the insiders, right, were saying it's down to Buffalo or Detroit. But there had been talk for, you know, the entire season that that's what Toronto wanted to do. And obviously everybody
knew.
But
there's also talk that Tavares is coming and Stamkos is coming and any free agency, any part. Yeah. I mean, well, this is it, right? And so talking Toronto is talking Toronto, right? And that's part of the deal, right? Is they just talk.
And so I guess, obviously, I was caught off guard. I was a little surprised in that it hadn't been heard or rumored that that was, where he was going to end up. But not surprised at all in the fact that they kind of maybe waited in the weeds and then backed up the truck full of money when everyone else's offers were on the table and said, here's what we'll give you, right? They always have that to play in their back pocket.
Well, and you know what? So right at the top, and you, like you've said, allegiance is on the table. I don't think I'm fairly level-headed in terms of my approach to hockey and whatnot. And love Babcock as coaching Canada's team, right?
Yep.
But now as coaching Canada's team... Yeah. Really, Babs is dead to me. To be honest with you, I think he's overrated at this point. Now, this is how that goes, right? You've gone from being some sort of coaching genius to now I will pick all of his flaws, including his haircut.
Which is no doubt about to get much grayer in a hurry because there's obviously years of work here to do. So it was 8 years at $50 million.
Yeah, and let's be honest. Well, you're leading with that. I don't blame the guy. Whatever else is going to come after this conversation or after this point in the conversation, if Detroit's offering him $20 million in 4 years, nobody's leaving $30 million guaranteed,
right,
on the floor. Now it comes down to Buffalo and Toronto talk, right?
And Pegula, their owner, obviously is apparently richer than God, right? And has thrown some of that money at Rex Ryan to come and coach the Bills. And the talk was the same thing, that he would pay what it was going to cost to get Mike Babcock.
Oprah rich.
Right. And so you wonder how much of that was, I did see a couple of the, you know, like I said, the insiders talking afterwards that, you know, Babcock said Toronto made their offer on day one, that he was allowed to talk to other teams, and it didn't change until after. There were other reports that said on the last night they were hearing that he was going to Buffalo, and it was going to be for more money than they had offered, and that the board and, you know, Maple Leaf management simply said, look, we can't go down not being at least the highest bidder, right? Like, we'll be lynched in this city with the money that that organization has. If he chooses to go somewhere else, fine. We have to have more money on the table.
Yeah, well, and that's that whole, you, now you're talking about, like you said, MLSE with all the money they have. And the only way to really circumnavigate the cap is you can pay as much in coaching and front office staff as you want, right?
Right.
Load it up with your 8 assistant GMs and your whatever else you guys have going on down there.
Yeah.
And as much as you want to pay on a coach. So this doesn't come to, once you've determined I'm not leaving $30 million on the table, okay, bang, that's done. The idea comes down to the Buffalo situation versus the Toronto situation, right? And so to me, then you start dissecting those two opportunities and those two situations. And that is the meat of this issue, right?
Right. And on that, you know, a lot of people have discussed how much money Terry Pegula has in Buffalo. Let's be honest here. He does not have, I think I've read he's worth $3 billion. It's a lot of money. He doesn't have Bell and Rogers money, right? And you can argue all day how much of that goes into the Leafs and how many jerseys they actually sell in a year and what kind of money. He does not have the money that MLSE has behind them. If they want to make this happen, they can find that. At some point, he has a limit.
He is just one guy.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
So to me, that was always a debate in that, you know, he wouldn't get beat in a bidding war. Well, he's going to get, if it comes down to that, he is going to get beat in a bidding war by that type of company, right? But,
well, you know what? Honestly, Pegula, you take your best shot at it, let it go. He'll get a second tier coach,
sure.
and he'll be fine. And save that money. That, you know what? You're only making his Sabres money is only coming off of Leaf leftovers anyways.
Basically.
Those who can't get tickets in Toronto are going to show up and pad Pegula's. So as that team continues to grow and you're still taking Canadian dollars at par, whatever you're doing there in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So yeah, honestly, you know, nice shot, but.
Well, that is the interesting thing. I read someone doing the math, obviously. Leafs taking in their money in Canadian dollars and paying out, and it's something like actually a $61 million deal that they're paying.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? I have no doubt that this is more of a $9.2 million once you put the.
Yeah.
But that is, to me, I don't blame him for the money, right? And again, when you look at the situations, the Buffalo situation is a better situation. For me,
right.
If you're looking at the whole thing of,
well, they're about to get Jack Eichel, they have Evander Kane, they have Sam Reinhart that they drafted last year. Like, they have some pieces coming. And Toronto has a Morgan Riley, a William Nylander. They're going to get a very good, though untested, player in the draft this year. You know, if you do start to look at it, maybe Buffalo is a couple of years ahead of Toronto, probably not maybe, right?
Right. And you know what? And so this comes down to, and you've read all kinds of things and you look at Babcock and you talk about ego and you talk about, because honestly, I think if you're examining the two situations, there is, in fact, Buffalo is a win-win. They're going to give you the $50 million-ish, mm-hmm. right? That is, they have already bottomed out. That team is rock bottom. And they will now start to move forward. You bring that coach in and then you go forward from there. Whereas Toronto, if they continue to try and go rock bottom, they're not there yet.
Right.
And the reality is, I don't think they're going to get there. And if they do, it's still two more years away.
Well, and does Babcock hurt them in trying to get there?
Babcock absolutely hurts them because that team is not as bad as it finished. I think that team that Toronto had this year is closer to the Randy Carlyle team than it is to the Horacek team.
Right.
Right.
And well, so, largely the same. Cody Franson is the only impact guy you dealt.
Right. And so what I'm saying is wickedly underachieved.
Yep.
Under Horacek. You better Horacek yourself before you horror wreck yourself, which is exactly what happened there, right?
They did not check themselves.
No, exactly. There was a lot of horror wrecking going yes. on there. And so to me, they're a better team than they appear in the standings, right? They're going to roll in slightly better. Better in coaching, right?
Yep.
And maybe that team doesn't make the playoffs next year. And I think the pressure that comes with that in that market of saying, hey, we don't need a rebuild. We just need a retool.
Right. Which has always been the cop out.
Hello, right? Calgary Flames.
Right. And you wonder how that's going to play out. This is supposed to be what year one, year two of a rebuild for them. And they're into the second round of the playoffs. Do they all of a sudden go, yeah, we're pretty close.
Like Ottawa 2 years ago.
Right.
Right. You come off of a Calder Cup and you got a lot of those same guys and you come up and you bite Montreal in the ass in the first round. And next thing you're in the second round, you're like, look at us. We are that much closer. No, you're not. Right. Whatever happened, good matchup, blah, blah, blah. I think obviously Babcock is a coup for Toronto. I just wonder if he is right guy, wrong time.
Well, and that's the thing. Even if they do continue to bottom out and they trade, if they're somehow able to trade Kessel and Dion and these things that obviously aren't, that's not a given that those guys are going to be able to be dealt. Is he still able to coach your 28th place team in terms of talent up to a 23rd place finish, which yes. doesn't help you into the playoffs and it hurts you in the yes. draft?
And you know what? That's what's going to happen. And so now it comes down to how does Shanahan handle and whoever the GM he's going to name, whatever happens in that situation, whatever goes on with that, how do they withstand the pressure in that market from the media and the fans to stay the course, to keep going with it? Because you know what? As a Senators fan, scares the hell out of me the fact that somebody would go, yeah, we have a plan now.
Right.
Because you know what? As a Senators fan, I look at that whole situation and I go, yeah, you have Wilson in there as a coach, you know, success in San Jose, success in Washington. He rolls in and he's full of bluster and he's going to handle the media and he's going to do all those things. Then they bring in Burke, honestly, more bluster, more piss and vinegar. He's out of town. They bring in Carlyle, who honestly, I think is a great coach. Maybe his shelf life due to his style is,
right.
But you know what? And bam, out the door they go. Now they're bringing in Babcock. Don't you get it, old Bluey? You lose. That's how that goes,
well,
right?
It goes back even further. Paul Maurice, when they signed him, was the next whiz kid. He had just taken Carolina at like 30 years old or whatever to cup final.
But time has shown that Paul Maurice is
Well, he's done a pretty good job in Winnipeg.
But what's a good job?
Well, that's not a good team to me.
Second round? Well, you know what? All the pundits, all the so-called, in air quotes,
yes.
experts are saying, man, Winnipeg is a couple years from being a cup contender.
Well, I think that's crazy. Okay. That's honestly.
These two air quotes experts yes. say,
right.
that's malarkey.
Right. But I mean, whether you buy into Paul Maurice or not, Pat Quinn, Pat Burns, like good coaches have been here and.
Better teams.
Sure. But that's what can you blame the coaches when even these better teams, you know, when Pat Quinn arrived, the top line was Sundin between Derek King and Jonas Hoglund, right? He coached that team well. That's
you have an issue with Jonas Hoglund?
I might Hoglund? Have an issue with Hoagie.
Okay. All right.
Freddie Modine was in that mix, right? Like these are the guys that you can bring in good coaches, but it doesn't really change anything in
Sundin
terms of
Sundin and Modine. There's a couple of nice soft hand guys. Maybe they could wash your hair at the salon, that kind of stuff. That's awesome.
Freddie Modine might have been the hardest shooter ever to play for Toronto and the least accurate.
Okay. Unreal. Exactly. It's the Sammy Salo thing that you right. have in Ottawa. Man, he could crank the puck, but he could never hit the net.
Well, and it was that old joke Sundin used to make a couple times. It was a little lame, but he always said, we go fishing all the time back in Sweden in the summer, but I've never seen him hit the lake. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah. Like, he just, those are the type of players that, and I think, you know, Pat Quinn did a good job, but it was a bad team. Pat Burns did a good job, and I wouldn't say those teams were bad teams, but they weren't great teams. You know, whether you, Ron Wilson, as you said, Brian Burke, these are people with resumes, right? Whether you like their approach or their bluster or whatever, they showed up and were eaten alive.
I don't like it.
Okay. But they were shown up and eaten alive. And you just wonder whether or not they're going to be able to withstand this time. Dean Brown said something interesting this week for people who don't know, as the play-by-play guy here in Ottawa. And I don't know whether he has.
Does a little CBC stuff as well.
Right.
He's been in and out.
I don't know if he has part of the little brother complex or not, but he said on the radio this week in Ottawa that this won't work again because Toronto fans get cranky after a year or two of losing. And to me, that's completely unfair in that, like every decent NHL city, there are stupid fans and there are smart fans. Toronto fans get cranky when management gets impatient. I think Toronto fans can endure a 5, 6, 7 year rebuild. But you've started and stopped it 4 times in the last.
Yeah. And you know what? And so, yeah, you know what? Dino, I like Dean.
Yeah.
To me, Dean is he's a great listen. And
I agree. I think he's a smart guy.
And he's fairly insightful. He's been the play-by-play guy for the Senators since inception, right? So there's no doubt, right? He started out as a radio guy. That is unbiased, and I listen to him call, and he calls visiting goals with a passion, and I think that's due to his Sportsnet and his CBC work, right? That he gives it as much gusto as now his talk and his play by play leans a bit towards the home team, and that's normal.
Sure.
But I don't think he's wrong, right? I think you have different markets, and the pressure that comes in Toronto or Montreal even, it is different than it is in other hockey markets, right? If you commit, whereas I think, and as you said, every hockey fan base has its different ends of the spectrum, right?
Sure.
You have the generic mindless types, and then you have the Leaf fan base is the largest in the country. So per capita, it's got more idiots.
Sure.
That's just it. And I think I'm not sure if it's the, you know, if it's the old Bluey thing, but I think there's fewer at the top end too who are smart. I think there's just, you know.
There's absolutely fear.
Fewer, not fear.
Oh, sorry.
Fewer.
I'm telling you, there's fear.
Okay.
It's because I do think the possibility exists here that they jump the gun now. If they have a good year, they could, you know, last year, we changed coaches when we were in a playoff spot, and then we went off a cliff, and now Babcock coaches them to maybe even if they don't unload a bunch more contracts into another eighth place, you know, and you can start to see this. They have to continue the rebuild.
Okay.
They have, and they said all the right things at the press conference, but you wonder after a year, I think this coach is qualified to, he has more pull than any of those other names that were in here before.
Well,
and you committed to him for 8 years he's the third highest. He only behind Phaneuf and Kessel in terms of on ice people.
Well, and somebody was on the radio the other day saying that, you know, guaranteed part of the contract Babcock signing is I'll never coach a game with Phil Kessel in it. You better find a spot for that pudgy guy elsewhere, right? And you know what? And he's the guy. If you're gonna flip somebody, hey, 40 goal guys don't grow on trees, right? And so whatever. I think of Phil Kessel,
yeah,
right? He is a legit 30 to 40 goal guy,
yep,
right? And so if you can find a position like him, as we've talked in the past, like Gabrick,
yeah,
right? Where somebody's willing to take him on in a second line thing. But the reality is if they want to commit to a rebuild, he's the guy. And that is the message that gets sent.
To you, he has to go before Dion.
For sure.
Okay.
Well, but to me, only because
There's more value.
He has more value in what he brings back.
Right.
I think you're looking at and dealing with FNUF, and you and I have knocked this around a pile, right? The idea is FNUF has value,
yeah,
right? They're paying him as a 1-2 guy, and really he'd fit in excellent somewhere as a 3-4 guy.
Right.
Right. And so I don't think anybody who knows a little bit of hockey says FNUF's a bad player, right? Miscast in Toronto as,
sure,
as a 1-2, right? And so you can split hairs, you know, anybody who says, well, he sucks. Okay. He sucks in, it's all relative, right?
To me, I think it's more likely, and I think this isn't far off from what you're saying anyway, I think Kessel is more likely to go because he is what he is. Whereas I think a year or two under Babcock and maybe FNUF develops a little further, right? Like, I think he's going to be coachable is the wrong word, but I think it would be easier for Babcock to mold him into what he'd want him to be. He's never going to be the number one guy, but some of those glaring mistakes and those slow turns and those things that you see out of him, I think can be coached out of him, where Phil's never going to be the back check guy.
Okay, so here's the deal. And not that I want to stray too far away from, but this is in the Babcock vein, right? Yeah. And you're talking, what is FNUF, 30? Ish.
Yeah, probably 28, 29.
Okay,
yeah.
and we're ballparking here, right? He has the ring of Larry Murphy to him, right?
Sure.
That whole thing, and because immediately as soon as you said, you know, Babcock could maybe coach, and I'm thinking, FNUF's got to be 30 or ish,
yeah,
close, right? And you go, that is a finished product. But the reality is, defensemen especially get smarter, get positionally more sound in terms of how
Dennis
they play.
Dennis Weidman, right? He was done in the league. He was healthy, scratched when this first game in Calgary, and he became unbelievably valuable to them.
Well, I think they hope for a higher ceiling than Dennis Weidman.
Sure, but I wonder if Bob Hartley had an effect on him, right? And was able to work with him.
It was Bob's hair. Bob with the two-tone gorgeous hair. Like, honestly, that's...
As you say, I just think defensemen are a different world, right? You're not going to convince Phil you should be in better shape and you should back check harder. I think he is what he is. And as you said, as a complimentary piece on a better team that ideally has a ton of cap space, he can work. I think FNUF can be a guy that you still have to have someone to play through this rebuild, right? Will he ever be Shea Weber? No, clearly not. Can he be a defenseman that does the job through this rebuild for you? Yeah.
Can you work him into a Brent Seabrook? Can you do
right
any of those things, right? And so, but that comes down to, man, your salary,
yeah,
and the expectations that come with that are gonna crush you
for sure.
And it's not got anything to do with your play. Like, honestly, I hate the Leafs, right? But you still look at the whole thing and go, yeah, I recognize the value in that. You know, if you can take some of those top minutes off of him, but that is an ego thing. That is a salary cap issue. And you look at him and go, well, he's making too much money to be sitting. Okay. But he is super valuable on the, maybe the second power.
So what is he worth? How overpaid is he at $7 million?
He's $2 million overpaid.
Yeah. Okay. That's probably about what I'd. There, you see people online.
All right, into the conversation.
Yeah, well, you see people online always, oh my God, you can't even give that guy $4 million. He's, yeah, no, settle down. You don't understand what an NHL defenseman
right
is.
He's
worth
a 5'5", right, 5.5 guy, right?
Right.
No, honestly, for what he's going to bring you in points and, yeah, and hits, like, honestly, he still has a huge upside. I loved him as a world junior. I loved him when he started out in Calgary, the way he plays. Right?
Yep.
You know, when he's got that Western Hockey League kind of thing going for him, right? So to me, he's tainted by the Blue Nation, right? That,
yes.
That kind of thing but really, when you look at him, facts are facts. He is a solid player, just miscast.
Right.
Right. And so, and as you said, to double back, honestly, Babcock may be able to work with him.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's more likely than being able to work with Phil.
This is it.
Yeah.
Phil, honestly, as a forward who I think peaked much earlier in their career, right, in terms of reaching their top potential, and Phil as a guy who has natural ability, maybe with a penchant to not work so hard, right, either off the ice, which translates to on the ice,
sure, yeah,
right, but a natural scorer, right? And if you're going to be a one-trick pony, that's the trick you want to have, right? You want to be able to put the puck in the net. So Yeah, he has the most
valuable.
Yeah. Somebody's going to overpay him.
When you look and you say that he's making in the same neighborhood as an Alex Semin, give me Phil all day.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, you could pull 100 average hockey fans, and they're going to say, oh, I'm taking Phil over Semin every day of the week. Yeah. Semin is, I don't even know what they're, you can't even say they're paying on potential when they did that. They were.
No, and Washington had already given up.
He'd already flamed out.
That was Russia West.
Well, that's exactly.
They said,
exactly,
no, you're done. So he moved on, and for whatever reason, Carolina gave him that money. And man, I just.
And nobody.
Similar.
Nobody said, hey, that's a great deal. What a steal you got there. People are saying, what the hell is going on?
Right. So to me, that's a. I want to be careful, but a similar type all offense isn't going to do much for you in the defensive zone, but be put up points, be a great pass. And Phil is just miles ahead of him in that class of player, right? In that type of player. But that's the type of neighborhood that 35 goal scorers are earning money at now, right?
And you know what? And I'm going to speak totally out of school here. I have no idea what Semin's stats look like from last season, but I guarantee you he didn't hit 30 goals.
No.
And
come on.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And I'm going to say, you know, now I'm emboldened and I'm going to say he probably didn't hit 25 goals. And he is, to me, is Semin is,
right.
Semin is washed.
So I want to circle back here and, you know, this was all kind of tangential around Mike Babcock, but what were your, obviously as a non-Toronto guy, he said in his press conference, I've enjoyed the challenge. I've enjoyed working with Canada's team, and now I'm going to work with Canada's team and put that back. No doubt that ruffled feathers across much of the country.
I hate that. And to me, I think you look at that and that's him currying favor in the new market, right? I'm one of you guys now, right? Now, I hate that because I hate that, right? And that's my gut instinct, right? But the reality is the Leafs are the most popular team from coast to coast, right? That comes down to the GTA is the largest area population-wise. Southern Ontario just crushes the rest of the country. That is solid blue and white. Then you look at what's flung across the country. So it's not Canada's team, but it is certainly the most popular team in Canada. And you know what? Very similar to the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL, which anybody
won in years.
Well, okay. but what you have is you have Cowboy fans and we have Leaf fans who just identify with the brand. Mm-hmm. Not smart. And there's people who gravitate towards it, right? If you're born in the GTA, Southern Ontario, I'm going to give you that. And if you've moved to Calgary or to Ottawa or wherever and you're working, you take that with you. But people who just cling in Northern Alberta, who cling to that.
It's loud when the Leafs go to Edmonton. Right?
It's loud when they go everywhere.
Yeah.
And I honestly, as a Sens fan, I take solace in that, that it's not just us that you know, the building is half full of Leaf fans on a game night. That's, I take solace that you can go to Vancouver, you can go to Calgary, you can go to anywhere in this country. They are not Canada's team, but they certainly are, and I may be splitting hairs here, the most popular team in Canada.
Right.
But what I'm telling you is that fan base is 40% chock full of know-nothings. I'd rather take 100% of people who are passionate about your team and know something versus.
Do you think it's going to fade? Like some of these cities, you know, Ottawa's only had their team for 20 years now. As those kids grow up, will they start to push Leaf fans? Or will there always be, you know, Leaf fans were here, had kids who turned those kids into Leaf fans who turned their kids into.
So we're not going to go historical on you here, but much like the English when they thought they could tame and assimilate the Scots with their prima nocta, right? That the local magistrate who's English would get to have a crack at a Scottish bride on her wedding night, right? And the only way was that you had to breed it out of them, right? So I think that's really what has to happen here is in Ottawa. Honestly, it's been now 23 years or whatever it is for Ottawa. And you're starting to see, obviously, young fans who grow up, but man, you got to breed the stupid out. You have to actually, there has to be some sort of, because it's strong.
Right.
It's strong. The Leaf brand is, and like the Chicago Cubs in baseball, you haven't won in so long that it's resilient. It's honestly, it's like cockroaches. You can't spray it. You can't.
Gee, for a minute, it sounded like it was going to be a compliment.
Yeah, no, it's well, I say this, as you know, with a pinch of admiration, right? That it becomes this, yeah, you know what? We suck. And we've sucked for 50 years.
And we'll rally around it.
But guess what? Guess what? We suck and we're going to revel in this. We're going to revel in our suckholeness. But when we win, we're going to be great. And honestly, doubling back now to the Babcock thing is when you look at that opportunity and say, you know what, to me, as a guy who's taking these opportunities, Buffalo to me is, with what they're accruing there in terms of young talent and draft picks and how that's going to go, if they get themselves a decent goaltender, Robin Leonard, yeah. they have it's an easy path. Whereas I think what's so intriguing for a coach with the ego of Babcock is man, if you could ever win in that market, you go in there and you say, man, I could do this here. Honestly, you'll be king.
Why does that not work translate to players? And we're going to, there's a quote here I want to read in a sec. But we've seen that. Burke has said that, right? Wilson has said that. Babcock. And to do it here would be unreal. And that's the way they feel. And it's no doubt it's true. There'll be a parade that's been joked about for 50 years would be stretched from, you know,
yeah,
Kingston to Hamilton. It would, that just doesn't seem to be the case for players. It really only seems to translate into management types. And maybe that's again, to go back, there's no cap, right? You say that after someone has thrown all that extra money at you and you can't throw that much at the players.
Is right. And because with players, you look at that whole thing is, and to me, it breaks my heart a little, period, across the board in terms of seven Canadian teams. When you look at the whole idea that top end Canadian players don't want to come home to play. They don't want to play here because of the media, of the pressure. And you say, well, you know what? I could play in Chicago where there is pressure. And I don't mean to denigrate that and say Philadelphia and Chicago, New York, there is no pressure. It's just ratcheted down,
right?
Way more than
you're behind the Yankees, right? You're behind the Eagles, right?
Well, for sure. And yeah. You look in Chicago, you know, I think the Blackhawk brand is strong, especially with winning recently there and all that goes on. But even with that, even with the high tide that the Blackhawks are at, they are still behind the Bulls. They are still behind the Bears.
Yeah.
And they're two crappy baseball teams. I have no idea where that rates. But you are in this big sporting fishbowl, right, where you are one of five and probably never likely to break the top two.
Right.
Right? So, although I think, like in any city, Bears are king.
Yeah.
Right. NFL is it. And then, you know, but again, the Bulls have sort of risen back to the top and they've been Eastern Conference contenders in the NBA. So, you know, but yeah, the Blackhawks, you say I could go there, different tax bracket, different expectations.
Still a hockey hotbed.
Right.
Yeah, still care about their, but not in Nashville. Right?
Just, and Nashville, you're talking Nashville, you're talking Florida, you're talking some of these places, Carolina.
Yeah.
Very low tax states,
yep,
where, hey, my $6 million in Nashville, well, his quite a bit of that's in my pocket.
Yeah.
Whereas, and that's a totally separate thing beyond
the pressure.
The pressure and what goes on there. So you look at, and that's a great point because you look at now an athlete saying, I can go to Nashville where I can golf 10 months of the year.
Yeah.
The tax bracket is super unintrusive, right? Whereas I can go to Toronto, winters are oppressive, taxes oppressive, media is oppressive, fan expectations are through the roof. Whereas a coach says, yeah, okay. Eh.
So on this topic, then, I want to – Babcock was on Primetime Sports the night that he signed. And I want to read you a quote that he gave to them. It said, when we create an environment that's safe, how many people from Ontario are in the NHL? When we make it safe for players, they'll be coming home. And Bob McCowan interrupted him and said, you really think players want to come here? He said, you got it. They don't right now. Mark my words, they'll be coming. Thoughts on?
Well, thoughts immediately, I'm jaded. And I'm saying that's a whole lot more currying to the local market, right?
Right.
And saying, yeah, that, you know, as I said already, I've alluded to Stamkos, man, how much talk have you heard in the past couple of years that Stamkos, big GTA guy,
yep,
loves Babcock, apparently.
Only signed 5 years instead of 12 when everyone else was doing that, which only fed into he wasn't allowed to leave as a 22-year-old, right, as a 21. But instead of signing the 12-year deals that his draft class was signing, he took five. Maybe that was just, at that point, the organization wasn't nearly as good as it did. Are you going to, he has 1 year left on that deal now. Are you going to leave a conference finalist at worst this year to come to a rebuild?
Yeah, and you know what? And I'm
maybe,
looking,
maybe, right? If you feel like it's that strong, well, if you feel like you have Babcock,
he's an FA next summer, right?
Yes.
And so, you know what? You get the lay of the land and you see where that is. And I'm not, you know what? It's got to change sooner or later.
Yep.
This whole idea that Southern Ontario born and bred players only come back to Toronto for that golden handshake contract at the end of their career, right?
Yeah.
Those sorts of things. Somebody's got to buck that trend soon, right? And honestly, Stamkos and Tavares, to me, Stamkos is the more.
Well, so I think Tavares is locked up.
Right.
And he's in New York City, right? Like, they've moved to Brooklyn now. That's a tough one.
And they're finding a stride there.
Yeah.
And Stamkos is already in the middle of. They've had a couple of decent seasons. And, yeah, and honestly, he looks like a guy to me. I see that. And that may be a bit of Babcock saying, you know, like Nostradamus, I'm just going to shoot that against the wall. And if I shoot enough stuff against the wall, something's bound to stick. And I can look at that and say, see what I said?
Yeah.
You see that? It's bound to happen sooner or later that with this sheer volume of, and I'm not even talking about Ontario bred guys, Claude Giroux from Hearst.
Yep.
Right? Those sorts of guys.
Well, how many times have the Leafs been, they presented to Brad Richards. He's not an Ontario guy, but a Canadian. No, going to New York.
Aren't you glad?
Going to Chicago.
Yeah.
Hindsight being what it is, sure.
Corey Perry. That was the other thing, too, when they were talking about Perry.
Rick Nash wouldn't come, right?
Okay, like,
he's a GTA guy.
Yeah, there's another guy who, with his first goal in the series last night, and
Yeah, so, I mean,
he's a perfect fit for the Leafs. We need guys who don't score in April.
Yeah, we don't play there, so that's.
Okay, there you go. 42 goals in the regular season, baby. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, we can do with that. So, you know, to me, I wonder if, as he says, you know, creating this safe environment, which I assume means a coach that isn't going to be out in the media like a Wilson and a Carlisle slamming you, but also we're coming along. We're doing this right. It's not just a feeding frenzy on the players all the time when there's a direction, right? When it's going well. You wonder, with him there, let's say they grab Mitch Marner or Dylan Strome this year and they turn into a number two center, right? Let's say Stamkos signs, you now have Kadri, and that's a year away. Maybe next year you're awful again and
Dylan
get another.
Dylan Strome is Matt's agent.
I hope that's not true.
I'm telling you right now, Dylan Strome as an Erie Otter playing on the with McDavid.
Well, you wonder, right? Because we already drafted one of McDavid's running mates.
Exactly. And how's that going for you?
Yeah, exactly. So you wonder, playing with the big guy, right?
I think you stay away from Dylan Strome.
Well, and the talk's been that Mitch Marner was drafted by.
Sorry, Dylan.
Mark Hunter, who I'm sure is listening.
Yes, exactly.
Mark Hunter drafted Mitch Marner to the London Knights and is a big, big fan. And now obviously is basically running the Leafs. You wonder if that's where they'll end up going. Another smaller player, but.
Well, I go with the Knights. I go with Knights picks over.
Otters.
Yeah. Honestly, the Knights just continually churn out.
Well, we have Kadri.
Yeah, we can have him.
Yeah, that sounds. He's a Knight. And yeah. It's not necessarily been a total success, right?
He's... Yeah, don't ask me to back that up. Don't ask me to throw any support behind Kadri.
Right.
I hate that guy.
Everybody seems to.
Yeah, everybody.
So you just
even
wonder,
his teammates.
You wonder if he's far more Babcock now is far more able to back up that kind of talk than the coaches that came before him.
Well, you know what? To me, that comes down to again. That's all. Just he is doing what he thinks he needs to do to establish himself as a blue and white guy. That is, and you know what? It's bound to happen. So good for you. Let that roll. But I don't think, you know, it's bound to happen, but I don't think he has any inside track and nobody's coming for that.
Yeah. You wonder, I just, like you said, at some point you would think, never has for the Cubs, but you'd think the pendulum is going to swing for Toronto. You'd think at some point people are going to start coming home at face value instead of what. I think, if nothing else, having Babcock there.
Yeah. But what does Babcock bring you?
Well, I think he brings you credibility, if nothing else.
Okay. Like, yeah.
It would be nice if you could start to sign free agents, if you're the Leafs, at market value instead of overpaying, right? When you're supposed to be one of the big franchises in the league and having to overpay to bring people there, even if you're not getting a discount, if you can get them at market value now instead of, you know, does he bring that?
Do you think Babcock is the best coach in the NHL?
I don't know how you quantify that because it goes with the rosters, right?
I'm just asking.
I think he's probably right there with Claude Julien and Joel Quenneville for me.
Yeah, to me, Joel Quenneville.
But I wonder what Babcock does with that roster.
Okay, but Quenneville was in Colorado before. Quenneville's been around. Quenneville was
St. Louis.
Yeah. And honestly, that's a guy. And anybody who...
But never won with those teams, right? Never won with St. Louis. Never won with Colorado.
Okay. But that's a guy who's working his way through, right? Yeah. And you look at how many cups has he lost? And so to me, I look at Babcock and say, you know what? Loved him winning a World Junior Championship. Loved that he went and coached Team Canada at the World Championships. Love that.
Something that he's likely going to have the opportunity to do for the next couple of
years.
Exactly.
Awesome. You know what? And I revel in that.
Yeah.
Love that he's won 2 Olympic gold medals coaching Team Canada at the Olympics, right? Those things are, you go, yeah. But I look at that Sochi Olympic team and I go, man, do you think I could have coached that team to a gold medal game?
Right.
And so what I look at with Mike Babcock is 3 Stanley Cup finals. Only 1 win, right?
Right.
I look at the number of things. You go, well, look at him. You know, he coached a Spokane team he brought a bunch of sort of journeyman guys to a Western League final where they lost out to a Portland team.
Can you be a journeyman as a teenager?
Yeah, you can. Okay. Those are a bunch of tier 2 guys. And okay. I'm just talking out of my hat right now. I don't know anybody who played in that Spokane team. And maybe there was somebody who went on to have some moderate NHL success. And granted, they lost to a Portland team, I think, that had, for sure, had Marian Hossa, maybe had Brendan Morrow, Brad Ferentz, you know, that, like, honestly, that is, and we went on to win a Mem Cup, yeah. Right? But so close. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Babcock takes Anaheim to a cup final, loses, right?
Yep.
He's 1-for-2 in Detroit. To me, he is a guy. Now you're starting to look at that and go, let's evaluate what he's done. Well, take that Team Canada stuff aside because you know what? Yep. Honestly, you could.
So let's look at his teams in Detroit.
Awesome, right? If you have Datsyuk and Zetterberg as your 1-2 centers, and you know what?
How often do you? Like, those guys have been out of the lineup a lot in the last couple of years. Look at that defense even, right? Like, that team keeps making the playoffs with Dekeyser and Cronwall and whatever. Are those guys better than Ottawa's defense?
20 years.
Are those guys better than Montreal's defense?
For the last 20 years, Detroit has drafted well, developed well.
But really, like, who's Gus Nyquist, right? Like, who's...
I guess Gus Nyquist is going to be the next Datsyuk. That's who that is.
Easy. we'll be back to that in a couple of years and we see how that all pans out.
Yeah, okay.
Let me write that down.
But Tatar and Nyquist, I'm telling you right now, those two guys will take over like Zetterberg and Datsyuk took over from Iserman and Fedorov. Right?
But I guess my point is, are those guys better than a Kyle Turris? Are those, like Nyquist and Tatar, are they better than Brian Little, whatever the hell his name is in Winnipeg? Is he coaching a team with two outstanding, probably Hall of Fame players, and then a bunch of guys consistently into the playoffs, or are they full of still great players? I don't see that team as a great team.
Yeah, but he hasn't won.
That's what I'm, but
yeah, he hasn't won in what, since 2009, 2010?
Right, when he still had a Lidstrom, when he still had a...
Right.
So I get that, but I wonder how much worse that team is without him. And that's what you have to try, I think, to evaluate. They lost a cup final in Anaheim with Steve Ruchin as your number one center, right? Like,
yeah.
CIS is
fine. But you know what? And yeah, love that Western Mustang. But you're also looking at, at that time, that's pre-lockout.
Sure. Yep.
And you're talking about goalie equipment that's off the charts, unregulated. Jaguar was in that sort of, I'm going to wear my box lacrosse equipment, right? Before they clamped down on that, that is what really backed. Jaguar was, since Ron Hextall, the first losing player to win at Conn Smythe.
Yep.
Right? So where is that? Is that on Babcock or is that on Jaguar and his illegal equipment?
To me, I think he clearly did a good job with that team.
That didn't come
close to making a run like that the year before he was hired there. And yeah, to be fair, didn't make the playoffs the year after.
Right. And you know what? And I will be honest and I'll be upfront with this. I'm a Babcock fan.
Right.
Right. And so, and I love what he's done. And as he moves forward, you know, his resume is obviously stellar, and I'm picking warts on a, but he is a great coach, right? And you look at his record, and prior to this, I was doing a casual look at what he's done, right? Did you realize that he was a coach at the Lethbridge Pronghorns?
I absolutely did not know that team existed.
University of Lethbridge Pronghorns.
Right.
Right. So he shows up there. And this is a team that middling to bottom CIS team, right? 5 wins a season, 6, you know, like in that range. Babcock shows up in Lethbridge, coaches them for one season, takes them to a CIS championship.
Right.
So in his 1 year there.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't get me wrong, right? I wonder if, and we'll double this back to the beginning when you look at it and say, great coach. I think he's one of those guys that, you know, if he's a girl, he's a B cup, but you can make it look like a C, right? I think he's going to bump you up.
Right.
I think he's going to bump you up. He can't make, you know, you don't throw a prom dress on a pig and it's good to go. I think he's,
it might be.
Yeah, okay. Leaf fans are talking about that. I got my Leaf jersey with the Peter Inacek on the back and then wing stain on the front. I get it. You know what I mean? That is picking a prom dress kind of thing. But I am saying I think he is the right coach absolutely at the wrong time.
Right. And I guess the question becomes, the debate was a couple of years ago, should the Jays go after Prince Fielder? In hindsight, you're glad they didn't.
Right.
And the argument was the Jays aren't ready to win. They probably need another 2 years. He's not available in 2 years. He's available now. Do you get him and hope that you're, you know, everything else around? And to me, that's the question here is, does he hurt your rebuild? Yes, probably in the results, but he's now also the guy developing your William Nylanders and your whoever else may come, right? Your Morgan Rielly's, and maybe it's too late for him, but Jake Gardner. And so you want to have his hands on the wheel. And if you don't do it now, you don't get him, right?
You know what? And that is the beauty and the curse of sports, yeah. Right? Is I have to jump this now. Thus the 8-year contract where he's saying, you know what? And correct me if I'm wrong. You'll likely know this is more front loaded. I think he's making 9.1 or whatever it is this year, right?
Some kind of huge signing bonus.
Right. And so in 5 years, he's going to renegotiate and say, you know, look what I've done here. And you know, I'm only getting me out. But anyway, he is getting compensated up front
to deal with that headache.
To deal with the headache. But you know what? To me, this all comes down to we will sit here next May and we will look at it and go, okay, did they commit to the rebuild? Because it's got to be a rebuild.
How did he do at World Championships?
Right. Exactly. What did did Crosby go? That's the key. Because as soon as Crosby goes to Worlds, you get people flock to that.
Yeah.
Sid's going?
I guess I got to go.
You know what? I got to be there, right? And then you go and dominate.
Yeah.
And so, again, I can't look at that. I have to look at, do they jettison a couple of their contracts? Do they really go full Monty in on the rebuild? And to me, that scares me.
Yep.
If and when I see that, if I see them stay status quo, and if they start to go, hey, we can do this. We don't need to go through the pain of a full rebuild, because they're not at a full rebuild yet. They haven't, like I said, they have not bottomed out.
No.
So
in December last year, they were in the playoffs when they fired Carl. So they had no intentions of this.
And we weren't.
Right. Right. And so there was no plan for this. They thought they were still a contender, a playoff team, and they fired Carlisle. It went off a cliff, as it so often does.
So they brought in a better coach.
Yep.
And now you're screwed.
Unless you can unload enough of those guys.
Well, but this is it. And that's what I'm saying. I want to see what happens in the next 12 months. And you know what? And honestly, like in Ottawa, this is going to be an interesting offseason. Toronto, what happens between now and training camp? Oh, that's going to be key.
Yep.
Right, if Toronto starts to legitimately, if they can find a buyer for Kessel, if they can unload that, I don't think you're ever going to lose Phaneuf. He's going to be a holdover. But if they can do some of that and they can draft well, it scares me. But I'm going to wait and see.
Yep.
I'm not going to jump the shark here. We're going to wait and see what happens in terms of, are they truly going to commit to this?
And is opening night's top line Nazem Kadri, William Nylander, and Connor Brown, or something like that.
Awesome.
That means you've committed to doing this. You've jettisoned Bozak. You've jettisoned Lupo will probably be injured.
And that's why Van he's Reen's not like, on that. What's going to happen?
Yeah, there? Obviously you're keeping some guys, right? Someone's got to play.
But they're at a point now where I bet you
Van Riemsdyk, at the number he's at, I bet he has some interest. If you wanted to unload him, you could.
And again, I get it.
Yep.
I get the whole idea that and it's a little different, but when we unloaded Fisher, when we unloaded Chris Kelly, right? Those are guys, you want to keep those guys.
Yep.
But you know what? Those are the only guys that have value.
Right.
Whether it's due to their cap hit, what they can bring in the dressing room, what they can bring on the ice, those sorts of things, you have to look at this point and go, yeah, okay, I want that guy, but you know what? Those are the guys other people want.
Right.
People don't want the crap you don't want. They want to have useful players, right? And so if Van Riemsdyk has a reasonable hit on the cap, then
I think he's only around like $4 million.
Then he is the guy that you're looking at, and you go, hey man, I could slot him in with X, Y, and Z on a second line.
Yeah.
Honestly, bring that guy in on a team that's close.
Yeah.
Bam, you slot him in on that second line. He's taking up second power play unit, those sorts of things. Hey, he's a killer on the shootout.
Yep.
And honestly, there's regular season points in the bank. Those are the kinds of guys that if they're still in your lineup in October, you have not committed.
Yeah, and I guess that's really the question here is what does he do? And like his only time will show up, but what is his impact? One of the rumors that was going around, one of the reports floating around was that, and it was actually a little confusing, was he had asked.
Confusing for a Leaf fan or confusing for most people in general?
That's hilarious. For this Leaf fan, it was confusing. Let's put it that way.
Okay, you know what? You're a cut above.
I guess I appreciate that.
There you go.
That he had asked for an out in the contract in 5 years that was, if you haven't committed to doing this right? If you haven't, I can go.
I was going to say, what is the out?
And so I guess there isn't one.
Okay.
And he, I guess in interviews afterwards, said that was the answer he wanted, was no.
Because we're committed to this.
Yeah, we're doing this. You're doing this. You don't get to bail halfway through. If we're going to do this, you're in, right?
And honestly, I'm going to fire you
Right.
And you have 5 years left at $8 million. That's $40 million bucks in my pocket. I'll take that.
Yeah. We'll be fine. You'll be fine. It's
so my kids can eat the good craft dinner.
All the stuff with the hot dogs in
no,
it.
No, I like the PC white cheddar, to be honest with you.
So yeah, like to me, I guess at this point, you're married at the hip. And the only thing that I found interesting out of one article is, what if this doesn't work? Yeah, if in 4 years you've now had the, what you determined and what a lot of people, not everybody, but what a lot of people would say is the guy, and it didn't work.
Well, and now he is what? To me, and I was thinking with this, I was knocking this around when you talk about the guy. Yeah. And to me, I've already said, yeah, I like Quenneville.
Yeah.
Right. But Babcock is right there. And you know what? I have, and you look at Boudreaux. I like what Boudreaux does. I like what Barry Trotz does. Right.
Yep.
If you look at sort of those top end coaches, to me, those are the guys.
Are you following Babcock in here? If it didn't work for him, if you're those guys, they chewed up Carlisle. They chewed up Wilson.
Yeah. Scorched earth, man. Yeah. After this, I don't know what's going to happen. Right.
Calling Horacek back.
Exactly. Right back to horror wrecking. Yeah. And so, yeah. And you know what? Let's not even, I feel bad for that guy.
Honestly, sure. The team clearly had quit.
Brought in to have his own throat slit.
Yeah. Like, honestly, he was sacrificed.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And so, yeah, you know what? Obviously Babcock is the guy. Right. And what he brings in terms of credibility, instant credibility, right? And, you know, with his ego and all that stuff. And I get that. He's going to go in there and honestly, if they're going to rebuild, if they're going to commit to the rebuild, this is the best opportunity for any coach, yep. Let alone a top notch NHL coach like Babcock, yep. Who's saying, my timing will never be better. I will not get this. And so some other sad sack is gonna take this gig and they're gonna ride it. And then in 3 years.
Well, it is a little unusual, right? Like normally you would bring in someone that knowing that you're rebuilding, that you can in 2 years and then get your guy. You don't bring in the guy to be awful.
Right? Well, but they're already applying the lube, right? To the fan base and everything else, right? They're saying, hey.
One of his great quotes from the press conference was, if you don't think there's pain coming, there's pain coming, and that's exactly how he worded it, right?
And you know what? And I'll double back again to this whole thing. I want to see in October, and then again we will recheck in April, middle of April next year. What have they done, right?
Yep.
And if they have got rid of some of those contracts, dealt some guys who are potentially of use to somebody else. Then we'll see.
Yep.
Then we'll see. But if you haven't, there's trouble.
Yep.
There's trouble. There's dark water ahead for you because it's going to get deep.
Well, and you wonder, it'll be shaded dark water, right? There'll be fans going, because you kept those guys, you'll stay right in that playoff race right up until April again. You won't draft. Maybe you'll make first round. Maybe you won't. But if you keep Bozak between Kessel and Van Riemsdyk and you know, continue on as you go now with those. I bet you Babcock can coach them into a first round playoff series, right? And so it doesn't.
They're close.
To people not paying attention, it's a good year. Look at, we made it again, right? No, it's not.
And to me, that's alarming. Yeah. That is alarming. Yeah. And that is scary for me as a Sens fan, right? Because I look at that and go, worst thing that could possibly happen is indeed that the Leafs could commit to this.
Yeah.
Solid coaching, hopefully decent draft picks,
yep.
Right? You start developing something, and in 3 or 4 years, you guys have built a Pittsburgh, right. A Los Angeles, a Chicago, that model, and more, I guess, leaning more heavily on the Pittsburgh-Chicago model, right?
Right?
If you guys could ever do that, that scares the hell out of me. But you know what? For the last X number of years, that's never happened.
Right. That's right. And so you wonder, all of these, you know, Leaf fan, pie in the sky, that if I'm not sure I see it, but there's plenty of people out there, the experts say Morgan Riley's a number one defenseman in a couple of years. If that's the case, if William Nylander is, you know, a reasonable, if you get a couple of surprise kids that come out of the draft, forget your own drafting. All of a sudden now, maybe you are more attractive to free agents. Right.
Well,
now you are building this powerhouse because people see, now I can jump on board, right? Now I could be the guy who wins the cup here. as a Rick Nash, right? Or as a whoever coming in, and the heavy lifting's done. It's a safe environment. They're on the right track. And now you have built a powerhouse like a...
See, and to me, the thing is...
It's a long way off.
Is Morgan Riley a Doughty, a Carlson, a Subban? Is he in that mold?
It sure doesn't look like it.
Okay, and so is Nylander, and let's even compare Nylander to Fellowsweith. Is he a Forsberg, a Sundin? Is he even a Naslund or an Alfredson?
Right.
And that is, if those are your two building blocks.
Well, they are right now, yeah.
And you know what? I love that. I'm giddy at that anticipation. if those are the guys you're building on up front and in the back end, I love that.
Yep. And so, like, obviously, like I said, it's a what if, as it always is. But I think, as you said, for other teams in the division, if Toronto starts to build something on their own, they do become desirable again to free it. And that's when it's trouble, right? You're not signing David Clarkson at 5.75.
Although Columbus seems to be very gracious in there.
Sure.
You know, awesome.
Much appreciated.
Yeah. No credit to Toronto for that either. That's all on Columbus, and that's all on Kekalainen, who's a former Senators. Come on, Tommy.
Could care less who's taking credit for it. He's gone. That's all.
I get that. That's just a plug.
He's the third. Nathan Horton's the third highest paid Leaf right now.
Yarmo.
He's not Kekalainen. It's a great name.
Yes, it is.
So I think, you know, to circle back, that's what's happened here is Babcock adds a little credibility, and if they stick to the rebuild for a year or two and become attractive, that's when it's trouble for other teams is, okay, they have a credible coach and they're on the right path and they've developed some things. Now I'll go, right?
And you know what? As I said to you a couple times already, we will look at this.
Yep.
Because at this point, there's a fork in the road.
Sure.
There's a fork in the road for old Bluey. Which way are you going to go? Commit or don't? And if you commit, scares the hell out of me.
Yep.
But if you stay the course and you do the traditional...
Giddy up.
Giddy up, man. It's good for me.
Yep.
It's good for me.
Yeah. So that'll pretty much do it here. One of the things I saw online this week that amused me the most is, A, Buffalo fans shouldn't be too upset. At least Josh Georges still chose them over Toronto.
Love that.
And someone else, far more blunt about it, that just said, Toronto is the metropolitan hub of a nation. It's a beautiful city. It's this, it's that. Buffalo's a dump. No one should be surprised. This is what's happening.
Right. But you know what? Babcock's lived in a metropolitan nightmare for the last however many years. Detroit, man. That's a boarded up, shackled down.
Well, that's not Toronto.
I'm just saying it's not too big of a stretch for that guy to move from one crappy former industrial city
over to Buffalo.
Yeah, like, this honestly,
looks familiar.
So your downtown's boarded up. What the hell? I've already been living there. How about I live across the ridge
Niagara
in Canada anyways?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, Niagara on the lake. He's got all kinds of options. So yeah, that's not a stretch. It's a dump, but he's been in a dump for 10 years.
Sorry, Buffalo. Sorry, Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Making all kinds of friends on the stupid Leaf fans. Yeah. Buffalo and Detroit's a dump.
Stupid Leaf fans.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll bring Nate back for the next Tall Can Sports. That'll pretty much do it for this one. As always, you can find more at tallcanaudio.com, Tall Can Audio on Twitter and Facebook, all those sorts of things. So thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you on the next one.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Tall Can Audio.